very interesting and powerful speakers. The theme has been faith in the storm, finding faith in difficult times, what it means to walk in faith through difficult times. And so what I've done, as I said before, is I went through my collection of people in my head and the people I know that I look up to, the people that I admire, the people who I try to call on their stories as I walk in the light of the Lord through difficult times. And five people came to mind, or six people came to mind. Seven, because two of them are couples. Matt, you're not a couple right now. You're one guy, right? One guy. You do have a wife, a lovely woman. Matt, I met when I was at St. Philip's. I think Matt was Lisa Cannarello debate, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. thanks for cleaning up. Stella, too. Thank you. Yeah. Sarah, whatever you need. I met you, I think, right after you got out of college, or your near end of college.
Yeah, right? Right.
Yeah, and I think you just had your experience and were coming out of it, really. You were talking a mile a minute out of it, and I was very excited to sit and listen to you. But yeah, I got to tell you, at first it was like, oh, great. You got to hear your story. I'm like, oh, another college student with a story. Okay, great. Well, what girl heard him? And he's kind of sad. But no, this was, you can't make up this story. This is a story that it is powerful and strange and wonderful and full of the work of the Lord. And Brother Matt has taken that experience and turned it into a witness that I know has changed many people's lives. And so I want to ask him to come up here. Matt Pridgen.
Awesome.
Okay. Is it on?
Yeah, it's on.
We're going to also have this recorded so you can direct your friends to our website later on.
Or you can listen to it all week if you'd like.
That's right. You can set it. Some of us can set our phone to an alarm. Matt will be talking to
all
you
day long.
I'm not going to do
just
that.
Just on repeat.
Thank you.
Okay.
Gracious That's Father, I want to thank you for your servant. Father, I pray that you be with him as he once again brings the story that you have pushed into his life, Lord God, that you press into it, and that your own glory be shown today. Father, I pray for any darkness that might be surrounding this night, just be pushed away in the name of Jesus, so that your light would be shown through clearly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good evening. I'm so thankful to David for inviting me. You said a word that resonated in my spirit when you were introducing me. The word was strange.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, it hit home with me. That's all. I had nothing else on that one. When he told me that y'all were having a simple soup dinner Lenten series, I had this immediate image come to my mind from a little Episcopal church that I attended when I began my faith journey in 2005, and we had a simple soup Lenten series, and I think the most people we ever got was eight. So as soon as I came in and saw that y'all were in the double digits, I was rejoicing in my spirit. I didn't know what to expect. I don't know if this is your normal attendance, but this is wonderful. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Jonah chapter 2. A man tossed about by the waves of the sea, swallowed up by a fish, and left to contemplate his life. The prayer in Jonah 2 resonates with my story. I called out to the Lord out of my distress. When I was 21 years old, I was going into my senior year at Duke, living at home in Charleston for the summer, took 27 hits of LSD in 18 days, went from being an atheist to believing that I was the second coming of Jesus. I thought I was supposed to die in the ocean for the sins of the world. I thought when I died in the ocean, the kingdom of God was going to come, the world was going to end, and that I was going to be at the center of eternity for all time. I believed this story so much that I drove out to Folly Beach County Park 5:30 in the morning on May 29, 2005. Swim out into the middle of the ocean, sobered up in the middle of the ocean, and realized I'm not Jesus. Now, you all know that I was not Jesus. This comes as no surprise to you that I was not Jesus. But to me, this was quite a revelation. It was quite a devastating revelation, too, because suddenly I had no purpose to be in the middle of the ocean. No eternal significance to justify my actions. See, my plan was to swim out as far as I could so that even if I changed my mind at the last minute, I wouldn't be able to turn back. And now here I am on the other side of my suicide sabotage plan, and I'm just a dude. Alone and naked in the ocean. And I knew I was going to die. I had a second revelation at that time, more harrowing than the first. It was simple that if heaven is real, then hell is also real, and people like me, the drug-addicted college student with Messiah complex, don't go to heaven. I can't explain it intellectually. I didn't believe in hell when I went in the water. Perhaps it was my close proximity to death. But suddenly, I knew that it was real. It was almost like Satan pulled the curtain back and told me, I've got you right where I want you. That voice that I thought was God calling me into the ocean was actually Satan, the deceiver. And the host of angels that I thought were coming out with me to usher in God's eternal kingdom were actually demons. It says that Satan masquerades around as an angel of light. He pulled the curtain back and said, I have you right where I want you, and you're going to die out here. I mustered up my strength and the little bit of hope that I had and swam back. It was the only thing I knew to do was to swim. I swam and I swam and I swam. All day long I swam, and then the sun set. As I said, I went in the water at 5:30 in the morning. I watched the sun rise on the water. I watched the sun set on the water. When the sun set, I realized for the first time all day how long I had been in the water. And my strength failed me. My hope failed me. For the first time, I slipped under the surface of the sea. I popped up with a final thought in my mind. I don't know where I had been all day long with this one, but it took me to this point before I prayed. My prayer was simple. I said, Lord, if you deliver me to land, I will never drink or drug again as long as I live. It was a novel prayer to me at the time. I found out later that I was not the first one to pray that prayer. I didn't know about making bargains with God. I thought that was original, but it wasn't. My prayer was very specific. In fact, I said, Lord, if you deliver me, I'll never drink or drug again as long as I live. But it would be great if I could take prescription drugs as long as they're prescribed to me. I just had this terrible image of being in my late 40s and the doctor prescribing me some kind of blood pressure medication, and I told him I couldn't take it because of some deal I made with God, you know, some 20 some years ago in the ocean. So I made a little caveat. I meant business is what I'm, that's what I'm talking about. We were making a little transaction in the ocean. It's hard with my story to keep the suspense because I'm standing here. You know I didn't die. But I hope I did okay a little bit. You feel a little bit of what I was going through? Okay, good. I swam ashore at the Sanctuary Hotel on Kiowa Island at 11:30 that night, 18 hours after I started. Now, I didn't know where I was. I knew I wasn't at Folly Beach. But I didn't know that I was at a 5-star resort. And I'm pretty big, and I was pretty naked, and they were not happy to see me at the 5-star resort on Kiowa Island. I asked for a towel, and the people in the hot tub stared at me blankly and pointed over to some chairs in the corner and didn't move a muscle. Eventually, the EMT came out, and she didn't like my story very much that I had swam there from Folly Beach, but she did do me the service to go and call my house. I told her to call my parents. They would reconcile the story for her, and she called them. She called the ambulance. The EMT came out. They also didn't like my story. The ambulance driver was not happy with me either. He actually told me to tell the truth, and he got on my face and was like, "You stop lying to me." I was like, "Please just take me somewhere. I need to go somewhere." They took me to Roper Hospital. I was in Roper Hospital for 4 days. They kept me in Roper Hospital for 4 days because I had so much creatine kinase in my bloodstream, which is a protein from muscle breakdown. They thought my kidneys were going to fail. I had hypothermia, water aspiration. I developed a stomach ulcer. My entire body from waist up peeled from being in the sun all day. And I lost 20 pounds. It says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God, when my life was fainting away. I remember the Lord, and my prayer came to you and to your holy temple. Salvation belongs to the Lord. My story is one of redemption. I landed on the beach with something that I had never possessed before. It was joy, the joy of the Lord. We know about the peace that passes understanding. I want to tell you about the joy that passes understanding. Sitting in the hospital bed, I couldn't lift my arms above my head, and I would just start laughing. And people would ask me, "Why are you laughing?" And I would tell them, "Because I'm on the ground." And they'd be like, "Yeah, you're on the ground." I'd be like, "No, you don't get it. I'm on the ground. I'm on the ground." Life is a gift. It was a gift the first time, but I didn't realize it until the second time. Satan has a counterfeit for every fruit of the Spirit. The counterfeit for joy is happiness. Happiness is when we enjoy our lives dependent upon the circumstances. I'm doing well in school. I'm happy. You guys back here know this. Play a good game, basketball. I'm happy. What happens when you get an F? What happens when you tear your ACL? We ride the winds and the waves of this life. When things are going right, I just get this little moment of happiness, and then it's taken from me. The joy that passes understanding is not contingent upon circumstances. None of the fruits of the Spirit are. It's a simple joy over being alive, and more so being alive in Christ. As I talk about faith in a stormy world, weathering the storms of this life, I think immediately of the rock of Christ. Matthew 7:24-27, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. I speak quite a bit, and when I deliver the good news, I always check myself to make sure I'm actually presenting good news and not just a set of rules. Christianity is not something that we don't do, especially you young people. Hear this. I'm not here to tell you not to do something. Here with an offer, an opportunity. And here's the opportunity, y'all. We have an opportunity to live above the circumstances of our lives. We have an opportunity to put our identity not in the shifting sands of this world, but in the unchanging rock of Christ. This is what it looks like. When I make my academic success my identity, I am one F away from losing everything. When I make sports success my identity, I am one bad game away from losing myself. If I base my identity on what other people think about me, I am one Facebook post away from losing my identity. There is one thing in this world that does not change, and it is Jesus. When I put my identity, when I put my faith and my hope in the unchanging rock of Christ, I'm able to weather the storms of this life for good or for bad. I'm able to have joy. I'm able to have peace. All of you know those special people who go through trials and suffering, sickness, poverty, with that peace that passes understanding and no one gets it. Like, why is this person rejoicing? I had an uncle who was dying of cancer, and I remember distinctly the doctor went in, saw him, came out shaking his head and said, "That man is not sick. That man is not sick." He was so joyful. It blew my mind. That's where I got the joy that passes understanding from him, my Uncle Charlie. It's the only way to live. I came out of the water 4 days in the hospital. I made this promise to God that I desperately wanted to keep. So I went to the only place I could think of, it was the Bible. There was a Bible in my closet from a high school youth retreat I went on. You know, it's happening. Some of y'all remember happening. Some of y'all remember happening all too well, I'm sure. That was not a knock at happening. That was actually sort of a reference to youth group leaders who slave out their, you know, their lives to kids and then watch them go off and do crazy things like swim in the ocean. And we love you. Bless you. Bless you. I pulled this Bible down, and a note falls to the floor. It wasn't in the Bible. It was either on it or under it. The note had a picture of a sailboat on one side, and I flipped it over, and it was a note that said, "Word for word, Matt, the Bible is God's chart for you to steer by to keep you from the bottom of the sea." That note had been collecting dust on my shelf for 5 years, written by my girlfriend who invited me to the youth retreat when I was 16 years old. I knew at that moment, if God could put that note there, then, for such a time as now, then he could do anything. I believed in the Bible before I ever opened it. But suddenly I had the Spirit in me. I had eyes to see the truth, and the Word became alive. The rock of Christ is the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. The Bible is our foundation. It is the truth with which we judge the world, the information that's constantly streaming at us. It's the plumb line. We can test all things according to the Word. It is truly the rock on which we stand. That Sunday, since I was in God mode, I figured I would go to church. This is the first time in about 3 years, but I had good reason to go this Sunday. I didn't want to go to my home church, though, because I was afraid of getting mobbed by well-meaning folks asking me about LSD and Jesus, and I just didn't want to answer any questions. You know, it's like the red carpet thing. I didn't want to face the paparazzi just yet. I was kind of wanted to be incognito since I was so famous. There's two ways to become famous. Y'all know there's two ways to become famous. There's the good way and the bad way. So anyway. Hey, fame is fame, you know what I'm talking about? I'll take it any way I can get it. My family and I decided to go out to Old St. Andrews. That's where Marshall Huey is now. Church of Our Savior. Marshall Huey was a friend of ours. He was an assistant out there, and we knew it would be a safe place. No one would expect us. No one would know who we are. We could kind of slip in and worship and just fly under the radar. So we show up, and Marshall's in the parking lot, and I see him, and he comes up to me, and he's crying, and I'm like, "Why?" You know, I couldn't figure out why he was crying. Maybe just because I'm not dead. A lot of people were happy that I'm not dead. You know, it was a really good thing, not dead. He was crying, and I couldn't figure out why, and he kind of ran off. I guess the service was about to start, and he gets in front of the church. And the lectionary reading for the day, which you know is predetermined years before was the calling of Matthew the disciple. Now at this point I pause because some people are better with names than others. My name is Matthew. Did y'all get that? Okay, the calling of Matthew the disciple. Yeah, someone in here didn't remember that, so I had to. You don't have to raise your hand, but I know you're out there. The sermon was Matthew, gift of God. And during that service, I heard that phrase over and over again, Matthew, gift of God. He had no idea that I was coming. In 1 week, God showed me that he was real, that the Bible is true, and that church is still relevant. He showed me that there is something in this world that is unchanging, that will never let us down. In Ephesians 4, it talks about the waves and the wind of doctrine. Paul urges us that we may no longer be children, constantly tossed about to and fro. I found peace for the first time in my life. And I realized that I misunderstood what Jesus came to do. Jesus didn't come to make me a better person. He didn't come to modify my behavior. He came to save my eternal soul. And I had mixed him up with every other religion in the world. Every other religion in the world is man working his way towards God. The good trying to amass enough good works to outweigh the bad. Maybe I will find favor with God and be saved. Christianity is the only religion in the world where God reaches down to man and pulls him up by the scruff of his neck. By grace we have been saved through faith. I thought in the ocean what God wanted to hear was some kind of vow. God didn't want to hear a vow. All he wanted to hear was, I can't save myself. The ocean is a picture of sin. I was out there and I knew where I needed to go. I needed to get back to land, but there was this huge gulf that separated me. And I tried everything I possibly could with all of my strength to bridge that gap. My strength fell short. As soon as I asked God for his grace and his strength, he gave it to me. He saved not only my mortal life, he saved my eternal soul. I thank him every day for the ground that's underneath my feet and the breath that is in my lungs. And the good news that I have for you today is that we can know, we can have security, especially in these tumultuous times. And especially for you young people, I love being in front of young people. I wasn't expecting to be in front of a lot of young people today, so that made my heart leap inside of me. And that's why I was talking about grades and sports. I know y'all probably don't have a whole lot of grades and sports. Maybe you do. I don't know. I don't know what your life stories are. But you guys do, and you know what I'm talking about. And you know how whimsical people are. What people think about us is constantly changing. God, the unchanging rock on which we can stand. And we can know peace flows from the assurance of salvation that Christ came to give us. He did not come to make us better people. He came to save our eternal souls. But once our eternal souls are saved, we become better people. We can have peace because we know whether we die today or tomorrow or 20 years from now, we're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We can love, we can pour out in this life everything that we have. We don't have to clamor after the world, climbing the ladder, the rat race, hoarding and trying to fight for our piece of the pie. We can give because we know that God will return in greater measure everything that we give. And so what I offer to you is a good news message tonight that we can know. And if you have any doubt about where you're going to spend eternity, now is the time to settle it. This is the time, right now. We're not guaranteed one day, not 1 minute, not 1 hour in this world. Just like the thief on the cross, it takes one breath to receive salvation. Not, this is what I'm going to do for you, God, but I cannot save myself. Not by my own strength and not by my own merit. And that is good news, y'all. It is good news because if it were by our strength and if it were by our merit, none would be saved. And that is an invitation. If you have any doubt in your heart, know that if we believe and confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord, we can be saved. We can stand on the rock, that we can find identity in the unchanging, awesome, wonderful Creator God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who designed us to be in relationship with Him. We can't run. You can run. I tried it. Got in the middle of the ocean. I turned around. He was right there with me. It was a big surprise. You can't run from Him. You can't hide. He's always there. He pursues us because He loves us. Praise God. So thankful for y'all. Thankful to be here. And I'd love to pray for us. Heavenly Father, God, we thank You for Your redemption. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. God, we come to You with our sin before us. Lord, we call out of our distress. And the waves and the wind beat against us every single day. And Lord, we ask You, we beg You, we plead with You that You might be our firm foundation. Teach us to stand on the unchanging rock of Christ, that we might have security, that we might weather the storms, that we might have joy in the midst of sorrow and peace in the midst of chaos, and display love through all that we say and all that we do, Lord. That we might be Your arms and Your legs, Your hands and Your feet, the body of Christ, ambassadors going forth. The cross might be lifted up, Lord Jesus. That You would get the glory, that You would draw all men and women to Yourself for the sake of Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.